In a world of ever-evolving complexities, where following the norm is often seen as a safer route, there lies a hidden art. The art of being what some might call a fool. Imagine for a moment a tightrope walker, taking that precarious first step. To many, that decision might seem foolish. Why leave the safety of solid ground? Yet for the performer, it's a dream, a passion, and a defining aspect of their identity. Similarly, each of us faces a metaphorical tightrope in our lives, the fine line between societal expectations and our deepest aspirations. The term fool often carries with it a myriad of connotations, most of them derogatory. Fools, as we're traditionally led to believe, lack judgment, wisdom, and foresight. They're the jesters, the clowns, the naive dreamers who dare to venture beyond the well-trodden path. But what if, buried within the essence of foolishness, there's a profound wisdom, a wisdom that recognizes that life's grandest adventures and deepest learnings often lie outside the contours of convention? Over the course of history, countless philosophers, thinkers, and creatives have not just hinted at but have celebrated this unique perspective. Their teachings and life stories provide us with invaluable insights, ones that challenge the status quo and encourage us to view the world through a different lens. A lens that values audacity, courage, and the drive to chase after what might initially seem unreachable. Enter the art of being a fool. In understanding this concept, we delve deep into the psyche of humanity. Throughout time, our greatest advancements, innovations, and expressions have come from those willing to be ridiculed, willing to be misunderstood, willing to, essentially, be the fool. From the artists who introduced avant-garde movements, only to be dismissed by their contemporaries, to the scientists who posited groundbreaking theories that upended conventional wisdom, it was their foolish resilience and faith in their dreams that carved the path forward. But why is it so essential to harness this seemingly counterintuitive idea? In its essence, the art of being a fool is about authenticity. It's about staying true to oneself despite external pressures to conform. It's about the audacity to believe in our dreams, no matter how far-fetched or distant they may appear. By doing so, we not only find purpose and meaning in our own lives, but also inspire others to do the same. The societal norms and expectations we face today aren't necessarily designed to suppress our dreams, but they do often encourage conformity. From a young age, we're steered towards paths deemed secure and acceptable. Rarely are we urged to question, to dream, and to chase those dreams with an unabashed fervor. Yet history has repeatedly shown us that those who have made a lasting impact, who have truly lived lives of fulfillment, are those who embrace the art of being a fool. In this exploration, we're not just discussing the abstract idea of foolishness. We're delving into a roadmap, drawing from the wisdom of revered philosophers, psychologists, and authors who have all, in their unique ways, embraced and championed this art form. Through their perspectives, we'll discover that being a fool is not about ignorance or naivety, it's about courage, passion, and the relentless pursuit of one's dreams. So, as we start this journey together, I invite you to set aside preconceptions, to open your heart and mind, and to rediscover the profound wisdom that lies in the art of being a fool. After all, as the famed George Bernard Shaw once remarked, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. Or in our context, the unyielding dreamer, the timeless fool. In the vast tapestry of mythological tales, where gods, mortals, and creatures of all kinds play out the timeless dramas of existence, there lies a singular narrative thread. A thread that, irrespective of culture or epoch, seems to reverberate with a universal resonance. This is Joseph Campbell's renowned concept of the hero's journey. Joseph Campbell, in his seminal work, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, delved deep into the myths and stories of diverse cultures, only to unearth a startling revelation. Beneath the varied facades of these tales was a monomyth, a single overarching narrative structure. It was the story of the hero, an individual who departs from the familiar, confronts the unknown, faces challenges, and ultimately returns transformed. This cyclical journey is echoed in tales from the Indian Ramayana to the Greek Odyssey, from the biblical story of Moses to modern sagas like Star Wars. But where, one might ask, does the fool come into play in this grand narrative? At the very onset of the hero's journey, the protagonist often takes on the role of the fool. This is not a comment on their intelligence or capability, but rather their innocence, curiosity, and willingness to dive into the unknown without a clear roadmap. The fool is unburdened by the weight of knowledge and convention. They act on intuition, heart, and an insatiable quest for discovery. It's this foolishness that propels them into the adventure. Consider, for instance, the figure of Luke Skywalker from Star Wars. At the start, he is but a naive farm boy, unfamiliar with the ways of the Force and the larger universe. He's the quintessential fool, taking risks, following an unfamiliar calling, stepping into a world fraught with peril. And yet it's precisely this naivety, this foolishness, that allows him to embark on a journey that transforms him into a Jedi, a hero. Similarly, in countless other tales, the hero starts as an unsuspecting individual, often underestimated, ridiculed, or dismissed by those around them. Think of Bilbo Baggins in Tolkien's The Hobbit. Initially seen as nothing more than a simple hobbit with no taste for adventure, yet it's this very innocence, this touch of the fool, that makes his journey so compelling and transformative. Campbell emphasized that the journey of the hero isn't just about external adventures, battling monsters, finding treasures, or rescuing the damsel in distress. It's equally, if not more, about the internal voyage, confronting one's fears, doubts, and insecurities. The hero's external challenges are often mirrors of their internal struggles, and it's here, in this internal landscape, that the fool's qualities become even more crucial. For it's the fool's inherent openness, resilience, and adaptability that allows the hero to grow, learn, and eventually triumph. However, this journey is not without its challenges and uncertainties. The road is fraught with trials, and the hero is constantly tested. They face temptations, confront their darkest fears, and grapple with their own identity. But it's the fool's indomitable spirit, the ability to rise after every fall, to laugh in the face of adversity, and to view the world with fresh, untainted eyes, that ensures the hero's eventual return and transformation. In essence, the fool is the starting point, the spark that ignites the flame of adventure. But as the journey unfolds, the line between the fool and the hero begins to blur. For every hero has a touch of the fool, and every fool carries within them the potential to be a hero. And in this delicate dance between innocence and wisdom, between vulnerability and strength, lies the profound message of Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey, that each of us, no matter how foolish we might seem, carries within us the seeds of greatness, waiting for the right moment to sprout and transform us. Diving deeper into the philosophical undercurrents that shape our understanding of the fool and the hero, we stumble upon the profound musings of Friedrich Nietzsche, a philosopher whose influence reverberates through time, challenging our conventional notions of morality, existence, and the human spirit. One of Nietzsche's most profound and perhaps misunderstood concepts is that of the Übermensch, often translated as the Superman or Overman. But what is the Übermensch? At its core, Nietzsche's Superman isn't a physical or biological superior being, nor is it a call for some dystopian hierarchy. Instead, it's an ideal, a symbolic representation of a person who has managed to overcome themselves, their internal doubts, societal norms, and inherited values to create their own individual meaning and values. The Übermensch stands as a beacon of self-overcoming, a person who dares to dream beyond the confines set by society, culture, and even history. They don't just inherit values, they create them. They don't just live life, they define its purpose. By doing so, they inevitably risk being seen as outsiders, as heretics, or indeed, as fools. In his seminal work, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, Nietzsche writes, "I teach you the overman. Man is something that shall be overcome. What have you done to overcome him?" Through these words, Nietzsche is challenging each one of us to embark on the greatest adventure of all, the adventure of self-overcoming. This journey is not about discarding our humanity, but about transcending its limitations, about forging our destiny rather than being shackled by fate. But this path to becoming the overman is fraught with challenges. The very act of defying societal norms, of questioning inherited wisdom, and of seeking one's own path can lead to isolation, ridicule, and misunderstanding. Think of Galileo, daring to dream of a heliocentric universe in a geocentric world, or of Vincent van Gogh, painting visions that the world wasn't ready to see. In their times, they were seen as mavericks, rebels, and yes, fools. Yet, they were ubermenschen in their own right, for they had the audacity to challenge, dream, and create on their own terms. Nietzsche believed that the societal structures, values, and moral codes we often cling to can become chains that bind our spirit. The overman breaks free from these chains. They recognize the void, the inherent meaninglessness of existence, and instead of despairing, they take it upon themselves to fill this void with their own purpose, values, and dreams. To be an Übermensch, then, is to embrace the role of the fool. It's to walk on the razor's edge, to dance on the precipice of societal acceptance and rejection, to risk everything for the sake of one's own vision. But it's also about recognizing the transformative power of will, of understanding that we are not mere playthings of fate, but active participants in the crafting of our destiny. As we reflect on Nietzsche's words and his vision of the Übermensch, we're reminded of the boundless potential within each of us. The potential to question, to challenge, and to redefine. The potential to be seen as a fool today and a visionary tomorrow. In this kaleidoscope of thought, where the fool, the hero, and the Übermensch intertwine, we come to see the intricate dance of existence. A dance where daring to dream, to question, and to seek one's own path is both the greatest risk and the most sublime reward. Navigating the labyrinth of human consciousness, we encounter the enigmatic and profound ideas of Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Carl Jung. A pioneering figure who ventured beyond the shores of conventional psychoanalysis, Jung delved deep into the realms of mythology, spirituality, and the collective unconscious to explore the very essence of human existence. Central to Jung's body of work are the concepts of the shadow and individuation. To understand our inner fool and how it relates to our dreams and aspirations, we must first embark on a journey into these profound realms of self-awareness and transformation. Often lurking in the periphery of our conscious mind is the shadow. This isn't some sinister force or malevolent entity, but rather, as Jung describes, the unconscious aspect of the personality which the conscious ego does not identify in itself. The shadow is a reservoir of feelings, desires, and memories that have been repressed, denied, or ignored. It encompasses everything we don't want to accept about ourselves, our fears, our weaknesses, and even latent potentialities. Why does the shadow matter when we talk about the fool? The fool, in many ways, is a manifestation of the shadow. In its purest form, the fool represents spontaneity, innocence, and a certain wildness. Traits that society often asks us to suppress or control. Thus, embracing the fool within us means confronting our shadow, acknowledging the parts of ourselves that we've shunned or ignored. It's about accepting our imperfections, vulnerabilities, and hidden desires. Only by integrating the shadow can we hope to become whole, authentic beings. This brings us to Jung's idea of individuation. a lifelong process of becoming the person one is inherently meant to be, distinct from societal expectations or norms. It's the journey of self-realization, where one integrates the various facets of their unconscious, including the shadow, into their conscious self. The path of individuation is not about achieving an idealized version of oneself, but about reconciling and harmonizing the myriad forces within. The Fool's journey, in many ways, mirrors this process of individuation. Like the Fool, each of us embarks on a journey filled with trials, revelations, and transformations. As we confront and integrate our shadow, as we reconcile with our innermost fears and desires, we come closer to our true self. The Fool's spontaneity, curiosity, and innocence are invaluable allies in this journey, helping us approach each twist and turn with an open heart and a willing spirit. Our dreams and aspirations are intricately linked to this process. They are, in essence, the soul's yearning for individuation, for wholeness. Each dream, whether it's a desire to create, to explore, or to connect, reflects a part of our unconscious seeking expression in the conscious world. The Fool, with its uninhibited nature, becomes the bridge between these realms, urging us to listen to our innermost calls, to dare, to dream, and to explore the vast landscapes of our psyche. In one of his reflections, Jung stated, "Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakes." This captures the essence of our discussion. To truly understand and pursue our dreams, we must turn our gaze inward, embrace our inner fool, and embark on the journey of individuation. It's a journey where the destination is not a place but a state of being, a state of wholeness, authenticity, and profound self-awareness. In the grand tapestry of ideas, from Nietzsche's Übermensch to Campbell's Hero's Journey, Jung's concepts add another layer of depth. They remind us that the journey is as much inward as it is outward, that each challenge, each revelation, each dream is a stepping stone towards becoming our truest self. And in this journey, the Fool is not just a companion, but a beacon, illuminating the path with its innocence, curiosity, and unabashed authenticity. In the grand theater of philosophical thought, few have painted as vivid a portrait of the human condition as the French-Algerian writer and philosopher Albert Camus. Camus, a Nobel laureate, grappled with existential quandaries, painting a vision of life where meaning is not handed to us, but crafted by our own hands amidst the vast indifference of the universe. Central to Camus' philosophy is the concept of the absurd. Camus described the absurd as the conflict between our desire for meaning and the apparent meaninglessness of the universe. We, as humans, are driven by an innate quest for purpose and significance. Yet the universe, in its vastness and indifference, does not seem to offer any inherent meaning. This tension, this dissonance, is the essence of the absurd. Rather than view the absurd as a nihilistic endpoint, Camus saw it as a beginning, a realization from which one could construct a life of authenticity. In his work, The Myth of Sisyphus, Camus presents the tale of Sisyphus, condemned to push a boulder up a hill for eternity, only to see it roll back down each time he nears the summit. For Camus, Sisyphus embodies the human condition. Our endeavors, our struggles, our dreams might seem futile in the grand indifference of the cosmos, yet it is in the act of striving, of rebelling against the absurdity, that we find meaning. Dreams, aspirations, and pursuits are integral to this rebellion. Society, with its structures and norms, often imposes a certain rationality upon us. It dictates paths that promise stability, respect, and acceptance. Yet these societal norms often clash with the personal dreams that bubble within us, dreams that might seem irrational or unconventional. Camus' philosophy empowers us to embrace these dreams, not in spite of, but because of the absurd. If life inherently lacks meaning and our existence is set against the backdrop of an indifferent universe, then why not pursue what sets our soul alight? Why not follow the path that resonates with our essence, regardless of societal expectations or norms? Accepting the absurdity of life liberates us from the confines of societal shoulds and musts. It reminds us that societal norms are just as arbitrary as any other construct. In the grand, indifferent theater of the universe, choosing a life that aligns with societal expectations is no more rational than pursuing one's wildest, most irrational dreams. By recognizing and embracing the absurd, we free ourselves from the pressure of finding objective meaning or conforming to external standards. We become the authors of our destiny, crafting narratives that resonate with our deepest truths. This isn't a call to abandon responsibility or drift aimlessly, but an invitation to pursue our passions with vigor, to embrace the unpredictability of life, and to find joy in the act of living itself, irrespective of external validations. Camus once said, "The only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion." In a world bound by conventions, where the weight of expectations can often stifle dreams, pursuing one's true calling, no matter how unconventional or foolish, becomes an act of rebellion, a rebellion against the absurdity of existence and societal impositions. As we reflect upon Camus' insights, we are reminded of the liberating power of acceptance. Accepting the absurdity of life doesn't lead to apathy, but to an empowered freedom. It reminds us that in the vast cosmic dance, we have but a fleeting moment. And in this moment, rather than be bound by the chains of convention, we can choose to dance to our own rhythm, to chase our dreams with abandon, and to craft a life that, while fleeting, is fiercely and authentically ours. In the ongoing saga of the Fool's Journey, the lessons from Camus offer a potent elixir. They remind us that sometimes, the most rational act is to embrace our irrational dreams, to find meaning in the act of living, and to celebrate the beautiful, fleeting, and absurd dance of existence. As we move forward, let Camus' vision serve as a beacon, urging us to dream, to dare, and to embrace the profound freedom that comes from accepting life's inherent absurdity. The literary landscape of Russia is vast and rich, filled with introspective quests and profound human dilemmas. Amidst this grand tapestry stands a colossus, Fyodor Dostoevsky. His novels aren't just tales, they are profound investigations into the human soul, delving into questions of morality, existence, and the nature of evil and good. To navigate Dostoevsky's exploration of the fool, we turn to one of his most enigmatic and compelling characters, Prince Mishkin of The Idiot. Mishkin, with his open-hearted nature and disarming innocence, becomes an embodiment of the fool's virtues and offers us a window into Dostoevsky's vision of achieving dreams through authenticity and innocence. Upon his return to the bustling society of St. Petersburg after years in a Swiss sanatorium, Mishkin's lack of guile and simplicity quickly mark him as an idiot in the eyes of the Russian aristocracy. Yet his idiocy isn't rooted in ignorance, but rather in an unwavering innocence and a boundless empathy towards others. His inability, or perhaps refusal, to wear the societal masks and engage in its pretenses makes him both refreshing and, to some, pitiable. Mishkin's unbridled innocence, often perceived as naivety or foolishness, becomes his unique lens to view the world. While the society around him is riddled with deceit, jealousy, and pride, Mishkin remains largely untouched by these vices. His genuine concern for others, even those who ridicule or harm him, showcases the strength and resilience that comes from a pure heart. His interactions, especially with the tormented Nastasia Filipovna and the passionate Rogojin, highlight the transformative power of genuine compassion. In a world where many are driven by selfish desires and masked intentions, Mishkin's genuine innocence stands in stark contrast. His straightforwardness, often deemed as foolishness, allows him to cut through societal facades. He doesn't engage in the usual games of one-upmanship or deceit. And while this often places him in precarious situations, it also allows him to remain true to himself, a beacon of authenticity in a sea of pretense. This authenticity is a potent force. For Dostoevsky, it's clear that innocence and foolishness, when rooted in a genuine understanding of oneself, can be more powerful than calculated cunning or societal savvy. Mishkin's dreams and aspirations are not driven by societal expectations, but by an inner moral compass, an innate understanding of good that remains uncorrupted by the world around him. For Dostoevsky, through characters like Prince Mishkin, the journey towards one's dreams is not a straight path paved with calculated decisions and societal validations. Instead, it's a winding road where the heart, in its innocence and foolishness, serves as the compass. Dreams, in the Dostoevskian universe, are deeply personal. They are not to be tailored according to societal norms, but are to be pursued with a relentless authenticity. Mishkin, in all his idiotic glory, represents this untamed pursuit. His interactions, his decisions, and even his missteps are all guided by a genuine sense of self, untainted by external influences. In one poignant moment, Mishkin remarks, "Beauty will save the world." This isn't just a comment on aesthetic beauty, but a profound reflection on the beauty of the human soul, in its rawest, most authentic form. For Dostoevsky, it's this beauty, this genuine authenticity, that holds the power to transform, to inspire, and to lead one towards their true dreams. As we traverse the intricate world of Dostoevsky, Prince Mishkin emerges not just as a character, but as a philosophy, a testament to the power of authenticity and innocence. In the dance of existence, where many wear masks and tread paths laid out by societal expectations, figures like Mishkin remind us of the strength inherent in genuine innocence. In our ongoing exploration of the fool's journey, Dostoevsky's The Idiot adds a profound layer. It urges us to recognize the transformative power of authenticity and to understand that sometimes the most profound wisdom comes cloaked in the garb of foolishness. In The Pursuit of Dreams, Dostoevsky seems to whisper from the pages of his novels, it's not the societal accolades or validations that matter, but the authenticity of the journey. And in this authentic journey, with all its trials and tribulations, lies the true realization of dreams, painted not in the colors of the world, but in the hues of one's heart. When we journey through the halls of philosophy, we inevitably encounter a figure whose influence has reverberated through the ages, shaping Western thought with a fervor that few have matched. Socrates, with his unyielding quest for truth and his distinctive method of questioning, remains one of history's most celebrated thinkers. Not only did he lay the foundations for critical thinking, but he also introduced profound insights into the nature of knowledge and the importance of self-awareness. The paradoxical claim, "I know that I know nothing," often attributed to Socrates, stands as a testament to his philosophical approach. On the surface, this statement might appear self-defeating or even nonsensical. But at its heart, it captures the essence of Socratic wisdom, humility. In a world where many claimed to have all the answers, Socrates admitted his ignorance. But this wasn't a declaration of defeat or apathy. It was an acknowledgement of the vastness of the universe and the limitations of human understanding. By accepting that he didn't have all the answers, Socrates opened the door to relentless inquiry and perpetual learning. Humility, as Socrates showcased, is not about self-deprecation, but about recognizing our limitations and being open to growth. In admitting his lack of knowledge, Socrates wasn't resigning to ignorance, but challenging himself and others to delve deeper, to question more fervently, and to seek truth with renewed vigor. This humility can be incredibly empowering, especially in the pursuit of dreams. In a society that often values absolute certainty and clear answers, admitting that we don't know everything can be liberating. It allows us to approach challenges with an open mind, to learn from our experiences, and to adapt our strategies. In the face of obstacles or failures, the acknowledgement that we don't have all the answers can fuel resilience and inspire innovation. Central to Socrates' approach was his method of questioning, known aptly as the Socratic method. Rather than providing direct answers, Socrates would engage in a series of probing questions, leading his interlocutors on a journey of self-discovery and critical examination. Through this method, Socrates aimed to peel back the layers of assumption and expose the core truths, or lack thereof, beneath. This relentless questioning can be profoundly transformative, especially when it comes to societal norms and conventions. In our journey towards our dreams, we often encounter societal expectations and established paths. These norms, while sometimes useful, can also be restrictive, boxing us into prescribed roles and stifling genuine aspirations. Socrates, with his method of questioning, offers a way out. By critically examining these norms, by asking why, we can discern which conventions align with our dreams and which don't. We can determine which societal paths aid our journey and which hinder it. In doing so, we can carve out our unique trajectory, one that is genuinely attuned to our aspirations. If Socratic philosophy were distilled into its essence concerning dream pursuit, it would emphasize self-awareness, critical thinking, and resilience. To chase one's dreams is not to follow a prescribed path blindly, but to forge one's way, questioning, learning, and adapting as one goes. Socrates' humility reminds us that the path to our dreams is not linear. It is filled with uncertainties, challenges, and moments of self-doubt. But it is in embracing these uncertainties, in acknowledging our limitations and yet pushing forward, that we truly grow. Additionally, by critically examining the societal norms that often shape our aspirations, we can ensure that our dreams are genuinely our own, not reflections of external expectations. We can ensure that our journey, with all its twists and turns, is one of authenticity. The legacy of Socrates, etched in the dialogues of Plato and the annals of philosophy, is not just of a thinker, but of a revolutionary. He did not just challenge ideas, he challenged ways of being, ways of thinking, and ways of dreaming. As we continue our exploration of the art of being a fool and the pursuit of dreams, the insights of Socrates serve as a guiding light. They remind us of the strength inherent in humility, the power of questioning, and the importance of self-awareness. In our quest for dreams, Socratic wisdom offers a potent reminder. It's not the destination, but the journey that matters. And in this journey, it's not the answers, but the questions, the reflections, and the relentless pursuit of understanding that truly pave the way. Let us move forward then with the spirit of Socrates, questioning, reflecting, and ever seeking as we chase our dreams with authenticity and fervor. For in the dance of aspirations, it's the rhythm of self-awareness and the steps of critical inquiry that truly make the dance worthwhile. Among the profound voices echoing through the halls of psychology and philosophy, Viktor Frankl's resonates with a particular poignancy. A Holocaust survivor, neurologist, and psychiatrist, Frankl didn't just theorize about human suffering and the search for meaning, he lived it. His experiences in Nazi concentration camps led him to develop logotherapy, a therapeutic approach centered on the pursuit of meaning in life. It's a perspective that can greatly illuminate our discussion on being a fool and the courageous endeavor of chasing dreams against the grain. At the core of Frankl's logotherapy lies an assertion both simple and profoundly deep. The primary motivational force for humans is the search for meaning. Unlike other psychotherapeutic approaches, which may focus on pleasure or power as driving forces, Logotherapy posits that our deepest desires are directed towards understanding our purpose and discerning significance in our existence. For him, life holds potential meaning under any circumstance, even the most miserable ones. This belief was not formed in the comfort of a therapist's chair, but amidst the harrowing environment of concentration camps. It was here, amidst unthinkable adversity, that Frankl observed a striking phenomenon. Those who could find some meaning or purpose in their suffering were more resilient, enduring the horrors with a strength that seemed almost superhuman. In many ways, the individuals who dared to seek meaning in the bleakness of the camps played the role of the fool. They defied the external narrative that sought to strip them of their humanity, choosing instead to listen to the internal voice that whispered of purpose and significance. They were foolish enough to dream, to hope, and to find fragments of meaning even in the direst of circumstances. This is where the crux of the art of being a fool intersects with Frankl's insights. Pursuing one's dreams often requires a similar foolishness. The audacity to seek personal meaning and purpose, despite external circumstances or societal expectations. Whether these external pressures come in the form of societal norms, adverse conditions, or external naysayers, the challenge remains. To stay true to one's inner compass, to prioritize personal meaning over external dictates. Frankl himself exemplified this. Despite the dehumanizing conditions of the camps, he held on to the dream of reuniting with his family and sharing his insights with the world. He mentally drafted what would later become his seminal work, Man's Search for Meaning, using scraps of paper and stolen moments of reflection. In the contemporary world, the challenges we face might be different from the horrors Frankl endured, but the central dilemma remains. We are often pulled between societal expectations, the well-trodden paths, the prescribed definitions of success, and our search for personal meaning. Here, playing the fool becomes an act of courage. It involves prioritizing personal meaning over societal accolades, seeking significance in paths less trodden, and often embracing dreams that might seem irrational or impractical to the external world. Frankl's logotherapy teaches us that our well-being, resilience, and even our mental health are intricately linked to this pursuit of meaning. When we align our dreams with our personal sense of purpose, we don't just achieve external milestones, we fulfill an inner calling. We experience a joy that is profound, a satisfaction that is deep-rooted. Viktor Frankl's life and teachings offer a beacon of hope and a roadmap for all those embarking on the journey of dream pursuit. His insights remind us that true fulfillment doesn't lie in societal validations or external achievements, but in the alignment of our actions with our personal sense of meaning. The fool, in the context of Frankl's philosophy, is the individual who dares to defy external chaos, who seeks meaning even when it's hidden in adversity, and who, amidst the noise of societal voices, listens intently to the inner whisper of purpose. In our continued exploration of the art of being a fool, Viktor Frankl stands as a testament to the strength of the human spirit and the transformative power of personal meaning. His legacy urges us to be foolish enough to prioritize our inner calling, to seek meaning amidst chaos, and to chase dreams with a tenacity rooted in purpose. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the 19th century American philosopher, essayist, and poet, stands as an emblematic figure in the realm of transcendentalism and individualism. His ideas, expressed most vividly in his essay, Self-Reliance, have not only shaped American thought but have also offered invaluable insights into the dynamics of personal autonomy, nonconformity, and the spirit of chasing dreams. Emerson's philosophy provides another fascinating layer to our exploration of the art of being a fool. Emerson's essay, Self-Reliance, begins with a striking proclamation. Trust thyself, every heart vibrates to that iron string. At its heart, the essay is a call to arms for individuals to trust their inner voices and intuitions. For Emerson, to be self-reliant is to embrace one's thoughts, values, and beliefs without being unduly influenced by societal norms or external pressures. One of the essay's most compelling assertions is that society often conspires to rob individuals of their autonomy. By imposing its conventions, norms, and definitions of success, society can divert individuals from their genuine paths. This leads to a life lived not according to one's innate calling, but according to societal dictates. A core component of self-reliance is the idea of non-conformity. Emerson argues against the societal pressure to conform, to fit into pre-established molds. He writes, "Whoso would be a man must be a non-conformist." By this, he doesn't merely suggest rebellion for rebellion's sake, but underscores the importance of authentic self-expression. This non-conformity, in the context of our discussion, closely aligns with the notion of being a fool. It involves the courage to be seen as different, to risk being labeled eccentric or odd, and to follow one's dreams even when they diverge from societal expectations. To Emerson, such foolishness is not a flaw but a virtue. It signifies an individual's commitment to their inner convictions over external validation. Central to Emerson's philosophy is the emphasis on intuition. He believed that each individual possesses an inner compass, a guiding light that illuminates their unique path. While reason and logic have their place, it's this intuition, this gut feeling, that should guide our actions, particularly when it comes to significant life decisions and dream pursuit. In chasing our dreams, relying on this intuition might often lead us down unconventional paths. These are paths that might not always align with societal standards, paths that might seem foolish to the external observer. Yet, as Emerson argues, it's precisely this foolishness, this unwavering trust in one's inner voice, that can lead to genuine fulfillment and profound achievements. When we examine Emerson's ideas of self-reliance to the context of chasing dreams, several insights emerge. Genuine dreams versus societal impositions. Often, what we perceive as our dreams are, in reality, societal impositions. Aspirations shaped not by our inner desires, but by external narratives. Emerson's call for self-reliance prompts us to introspect, to discern which of our dreams are genuinely ours, and which are reflections of societal expectations. To chase authentic dreams is to risk being seen as a fool. It's to venture into the unknown, driven not by the promise of societal accolades, but by the allure of personal fulfillment. Emerson's emphasis on nonconformity reminds us that this risk, this foolishness, is worth it. In the journey towards our dreams, there will be crossroads, moments of doubt, and challenges. Here, Emerson's emphasis on intuition serves as a guiding light. It reminds us to trust our inner compass, to let our genuine feelings and instincts chart our course. Ralph Waldo Emerson's philosophy offers a refreshing perspective in today's world, where societal pressures and external validations often overshadow personal desires and intuitions. His ideas on self-reliance serve as a clarion call, urging us to embrace our individuality, to cherish our unique dreams, and to chase them with a fervor that is undeterred by societal judgments. In the dance of aspirations, there will always be external voices, melodies that seek to dictate our steps and rhythms. Yet, as Emerson's wisdom suggests, it's the internal tune, the unique beat of our heart, that should guide our dance. In the continued exploration of the art of being a fool, Emerson stands as a beacon, illuminating the virtues of nonconformity, the strength inherent in genuine self-reliance, and the transformative power of following one's dreams. He beckons us to be foolish enough to trust ourselves, to prioritize our inner voice, and to embark on the enchanting journey of authentic dream pursuit. Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist has captivated readers worldwide with its enchanting narrative and profound philosophical insights. While the book is filled with numerous themes, ranging from love to fate, one of its core messages centers around the pursuit of one's personal legend. Through Santiago's journey, Paulo not only offers readers a literary adventure but also a profound lesson on the value of following one's dreams, even if it means being perceived as a fool. Santiago's journey begins with a recurring dream of a child telling him to find treasure at the foot of the Egyptian pyramids. This dream, dismissed by many as mere fancy or illusion, serves as the catalyst for Santiago's grand adventure. Herein lies the first lesson. Dreams, however unfeasible they may seem, often carry profound truths and directions for our lives. While many would have dismissed such a dream as trivial, Santiago, playing the fool, chooses to pursue it, signaling the start of his odyssey. Paulo introduces the concept of a personal legend as the utmost desire of the heart, the dream or goal that a person feels is their mission in life. Everyone, according to him, knows their personal legend at a young age, but as they grow, societal expectations, fear of failure, and various other distractions cause them to lose sight of this dream. Santiago, as a shepherd, could have easily settled into the comfortable rhythm of his life. Yet, the pull of his personal legend, the desire to decipher his dream, propels him into the unknown. His journey, filled with unexpected challenges and encounters, mirrors the journey anyone undertakes when they decide to pursue their deepest aspirations. To the external world, Santiago's journey might seem foolhardy, giving up the certainty of his life, selling his sheep, and venturing into foreign lands on the whim of a dream. It surely seems like the act of a fool. Yet, Coelho's narrative underscores that it's this very foolishness, this audacious spirit, that's essential for true self-discovery and realization of one's personal legend. As Santiago encounters the alchemist, the story delves deeper into the spiritual and philosophical aspects of pursuing one's dreams. The alchemist tells him, people learn early in their lives what is their reason for being, and that very few follow the path laid out for them, the path to their personal legends, to their happiness. This reinforces the idea that many, fearing the label of fool, choose the comfort of the known over the uncertainty and magic of chasing their dreams. While alchemy traditionally centers around turning base metals into gold, Paulo uses it as a metaphor for personal transformation. Santiago's journey isn't just about physical travel, it's about his inner evolution, his metamorphosis as he inches closer to his personal legend. This transformation is essential for anyone on the path of their dreams. It involves shedding old beliefs, embracing new wisdom, and continually evolving in the quest for one's deepest aspirations. Santiago's journey comes full circle when he realizes that the treasure he sought was not just physical, but also metaphysical. The real treasure was the wisdom he gained, the understanding of his heart's true desires, and the realization that the journey itself, with all its challenges and detours, was as valuable as the destination. Coelho seems to suggest that in the pursuit of our personal legends, while the end goal is crucial, the journey, the experiences, the transformations, and the wisdom gained are equally, if not more, valuable. Paulo Coelho, through the narrative of Santiago, offers a compelling exploration of the art of being a fool. It's a reminder that often, the path to our deepest desires, our personal legends, requires us to embrace the unconventional, to risk ridicule, and to journey into the unknown. In the dance between destiny and free will, between dreams and reality, the alchemist stands as a beacon, illuminating the power of faith, the beauty of the journey, and the transformative magic of chasing one's dreams. In a world that often values pragmatism over passion, the alchemist is a clarion call to all dreamers, urging them to embrace their foolishness, to trust the whispers of their hearts, and to embark on the sacred journey of realizing their personal legends. It's not just a tale of Santiago's odyssey. It's an invitation to every reader, every individual, to embark on their own journey of self-discovery, dream pursuit, and personal alchemy. In this exploration of the intricate dance between dreams and daring, between folly and fulfillment, we've traversed the thoughts of some of history's most profound thinkers and storytellers. Each of these luminaries, in their unique ways, beckons us towards a singular truth, the inestimable power of embracing our inner fool. From Santiago's relentless pursuit of his personal legend in Coelho's The Alchemist, to Nietzsche's bold conception of the Übermensch, who dares to craft his own values. From Jung's insightful revelations about the shadow and individuation, to Emerson's impassioned advocacy for self-reliance, each narrative and philosophical stance paints the portrait of a world where dreams aren't just fleeting fantasies, but profound prophecies guiding us towards our authentic selves. Dreaming, as we've gleaned, isn't merely an act of whimsy, it's an act of rebellion. It's a challenge to societal structures, a defiance against the mundane, and most importantly, a courageous commitment to oneself. Daring to dream is akin to launching a silent yet powerful revolution against conformity. The fool in each of us isn't a marker of naivete or ignorance. Rather, it's a symbol of audacity, of the capacity to venture beyond the familiar horizons and dive into the vast oceans of the unknown. The world often demands of us a straight path, a predictable trajectory filled with safe choices and sound decisions. However, as Socrates' profound assertion reminds us, true wisdom might reside in acknowledging the vastness of what we don't know, in questioning the norms, and in realizing the profound freedom that this humility brings. It grants us the license to be foolish, to question the unquestionable, and to etch our paths on the sands of time. Viktor Frankl, with his incisive insights on logotherapy, further illuminates this discourse, revealing that our deepest yearnings are often tethered to our search for meaning. This search, in all its profundity, frequently demands from us the bravery to be foolish, to look beyond the immediate and tangible, seeking that which truly resonates with the core of our being. In essence, the fool is not the one who dreams, but perhaps the one who, fearing ridicule or failure, suppresses those dreams. For in dreams we find not just hope, but direction, not just aspiration, but purpose. To be foolish is to have the audacity to believe in oneself, to trust in the journey, and to realize that the path, with all its twists and turns, is as significant as the destination. So, as we conclude this odyssey through thought, philosophy, and narrative, let's carry with us the vibrant tapestry of insights we've gathered. Let's honor the fool within, recognizing its power, its wisdom, and its unparalleled courage. For in the art of being a fool lies the art of truly living, of dreaming, daring, and defying the boundaries that confine us. Embrace that inner fool, for in its embrace lies the promise of a life lived in technicolor, rich with dreams, drenched in passion, and driven by purpose.